Dear Bante, I tend to more easily see the arising phenomenon, but instead of seeing its passing away, I only see the arising of another phenomenon, replacing the previous phenomenon. Bante, please give me guidance for how to arise the insight of the ceasing of phenomenon. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, more you develop mindfulness, it becomes somewhat obvious. Actually, mindfulness has to be coupled with clear comprehension. So clear comprehension is the one properly giving us the details of the complete picture. Say, for example, as we have less mindfulness, less clear comprehension, you can't see the complete picture. Once something is before it fades away, immediately our mind jumps to another different phenomena. We are not seeing the full picture. We are not staying ourselves with the same phenomena in order to see its complete lifespan. Instead, we have already jumped to something else. But assume, even when it is really bored, you are trying to continue observing this same phenomena. Assume, say for example, you are observing a breath. So when you see the beginning of the in-breath, say the middle of the in-breath, assume that you lost seeing the end of the in-breath. So then immediately maybe the beginning of out-breath is there. So your attention being driven to the out-breath, arising aspect of the out-breath. Because you lost seeing the ending part of the in-breath. But the clear comprehension is present in your mind. Then you are able to refine your attention and you are able to recognize even this ending aspect of the in-breath. And there may be even little gap just before the beginning of the out-breath. So likewise, we are not able to look at the complete picture because we have less clear comprehension. And anyway, you don't need to discourage, because as you are further and further observing the mind, so as I said, the amount of thoughts coming to the mind become less and less. So the frequency become less and less. So as a result, you may be able to vividly see, vividly understand, okay, the complete cycle of the thought, complete cycle of any phenomenon. So it may naturally happen. So that's why even in the Dhammanupassana, first emphasis is given to the arising sight. Samudaya Dhammanupassiva Dhammesu Viharati. So you may be understanding, okay, they have the nature to arise. They have the nature to arise. So that is also a kind of an insight. But once you using that understanding further and further, that will eventually even develop the skill in yourself to see the fading away. So don't worry. So you will gain that skill. It will naturally happen. Yeah, we can go to the next question.
Okay, thank you, Bente. And just for anyone that may be new to our Sutta teachings, you may ask a question by raising your hand, or you may send them to me anonymously as well. Go ahead, Chitra Devi, you may unmute.
Thank you. So Bante, this sutta is, the Buddha is trying to show us the impermanence, that's what the Udyavaya, and also the not for us not to cling to this body and feelings and everything else, and ultimately not clinging to anything in this world. Would that be right if I asked that? If I said that is correct?
Correct. Yes. Actually, it is not unique to this part. It is common to every part of the Satipatthana.
Yes. So my other question is that though we are doing all these things in the meditation process, we can also do it, this Udayavaya especially, when we are even doing our daily activities. Would that help us to develop this concept of impermanence that the Buddha is trying to get us to understand?
Sure, definitely. Because the thing is, I mean, if we develop that sort of a perspective in the mind, that really helps to refine it while we do the vipassana. Because you can't say, I mean, now say you start sweeping the floor. And once you complete it, you can say, okay, I completed sweeping the floor. It has the nature to pass away. You can say so, but you can't say it is the real vipassana because it's still in the conceptual level. But you can understand everything has that nature, by the way.
Yes, because I look at when I'm eating also, I feel, you know, the taste of the food, and then it starts fading away when we are chewing and swallowing. So that's also Udyavaya.
I mean, that is where, I mean, we need to go to the very basic level, fundamental level, and then we can say they are Udyavaya. But when it comes to the very, you know, event level, it consists of so many other minor events included. But altogether, we consider, okay, this event has finished. This event has passed away. Now, say, for example, there is an election. So, it's a period of many things. And then after 1 week, 2 weeks, the election has finished. So, we can say like that. So, there are those conceptual things also have the nature to start and then to stop, then to complete. But in the vipassana, we are going more deeper to many very subtle levels. So we are going far from the concepts. We are going to the very fundamental levels of phenomena. And there we understand they have the nature to come, they have the nature to arise, and they have the nature to go, pass away. But as you said, in the conceptual level, if you have that understanding about the impermanence, it is really helpful.
Yes, Bhante, and for me, when I look at my breath, and now that we have been doing this for so long, I can see the rising and passing away of the breath quite early. I don't know whether that's a gross level or what, but I can see that quite early. I mean, but from what I'm understanding from you is that it has to be a more refined kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yes. Because, I mean, breath is by itself very refined aspect. But what I want to highlight here is assume now you are considering, okay, in-breath has the nature to arise. In-breath has the nature to pass away. So this is one level of understanding. One level of understanding. And then assume now you are further improving your mindfulness and clear comprehension. There, now say you can't understand whether it is in-breath or out-breath, but something is there. Some sort of a sensation is there. Now you can't label it. And you can't even find out where exactly it happens. And there you are coming more closer to the fundamentals. And now you are free from all concepts, free from all, say, signs. But some fundamental aspect is there. Some very primordial kind of phenomena is there. Now you see how it is arising, how it passes away. So that is where we are moving more closer to the reality, where there is no label at all even. You can't even name it.
Because now when I was listening to the Dhamma, for instance, this talk today, whenever I listen anyway, I just checked my mind to see whether there are the five hindrances, you know. I think that it's also a good thing. I don't know. Maybe you will tell me. Because when I'm listening to Dhamma, and I checked now today when I'm listening to your Dhamma talk, there were no five hindrances at all.
Yes, correct.
it was quite a very tranquil kind of, I just looked to see as from outside, to see what this mind was, and it was pretty tranquil. So I think that can we take that as a point of improvement?
Sure. I mean, you can take like that. That's why, I mean, now, different methods are there to take you to the freedom. It is not merely meditation. Even while listening to Dhamma, even while you are preaching Dhamma, even while you are reflecting Dhamma. So there are five Vimuttayatana, Buddha talks, basically. There are five methods of freeing the mind. So, I mean, we can utilize any of these. We can actually try to utilize any of these. So we, I mean, therefore, this freedom can happen at any level, any of these activities. And important thing is to have a kind of a reflection in the mind, kind of an ongoing reflection is there, irrespective of whatever the activity you are involved with. Say you are, as you said, not only while, say, listening to Dhamma, assume that you are talking with someone. At the same time, you can have a little reflection of your own mind. How is it reacting? Is it trying to show off? Is it trying to look down the other person? Is it trying to sort of impose something onto the other person? So likewise, you can have a separate view in the mind, separate thread going on to observe how mind is reacting.
Because in this process, as we are doing that, also we are losing the sense of self. That is also something that we are trying to do, no, Bhante?
Yes, it is not.
That be right?
Of course, but the thing is, it happens naturally. So, I mean, once you are observing various hindrances objectively, so there are immediately sometimes you will understand where is I. So there is no I. They are simply hindrances. They don't belong to me. I mean, you can say, okay, they belong to nature. We can say like that. So there are basically various phenomena. It is not me. It is not mine. So likewise, sort of, you stop this identification. So these are the insights as we develop practice, time to time can arise. So you immediately sort of get a kind of an introspection. Where is I? So there is no I.
Because the whole idea of everything that we are all doing, all these people here, is that we are trying to go forward on this path. So we have to do what is necessary. This is a form of training. Is that right, Bhante?
Exactly.
Because if we don't do it, then we are just going to be in one place.
Sorry, can you repeat it?
If we are not going to investigate every time, even when you are listening to a talk, or as you said, when we are, that doesn't always happen when you are talking to other people, but we can try. But if we are not going to do that, then we will never be able to go forward.
Exactly. True. Because, I mean, that is where the mindfulness is required. So you use mindfulness as a refuge.
Yes.
So you are trying to maintain mindfulness throughout your daily activities, and you are watching the mind, you are guarding the mind. So that helps you to understand how mind going to react. Are you being driven by any emotion? Are you being even driven by any hindrance? Or are you able to come out of it and look at it objectively?
So I feel that the more we do it, and sometimes we can't, sometimes the emotion takes over, and that happens.
But
I then go back later and look at that and say, you know, that's happened, that, you know, that wasn't quite what I would have liked.
Yes, yes.
So not I, but the five aggregates or whatever you want to call it.
Exactly.
So that is all investigation, and that's what I feel that we have to do now. But
correct. You are very correct. Because, and I mean, you can't immediately become perfect. So you will understand, I am trying my best to maintain mindfulness, but sometimes it has become weaker. So at that time, sometimes I was driven by hindrances. I was become a victim of the hindrance. But later, once you are sort of looking back, so you'll understand, at that particular time, I was not that mindful. So at that time, I have mentioned something not suitable. So likewise, you get a sort of accounting of your activities. So you recognize, there are still certain lapses in my daily activities, lapses in my mindfulness. So there you are now trying to correct. So that is how the improvement has to happen. So we ourselves are the guidance. We ourselves become the teacher.
Yes, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. Looks like that is the only question that I have received so far.
Yeah. Good. So all are free from hindrances. So no perplexities, no doubts. Good. So then we'll
maybe
like
quite the opposite.
Yeah. Sorry?
Too many hindrance, maybe quite the opposite.
Yes.
Too many hindrance. Oh, okay. Looks like Darshika, you may unmute your microphones.
Yes, Bante, can you hear me, Bante?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, this is regarding my practice. Now, currently in my practice in walking and seated meditation, I go to this large empty space very soon and only get a few thoughts in a period of 1 hour. I do 1 hour of seated, 1 hour of walking daily, or more than that. When watching very closely, I can see the thoughts arising at the very moment it arises. And as there is no feeding or promoting of thoughts, I can see the thoughts passing away immediately. So basically, I see them arising and passing away of these thoughts. Otherwise, I'm just living in the free, empty space. So what I want to find out is what I should do next. And also when this arises, because you are like detached from the body, what happens to the mental process? Those are my two questions, one thing.
Yeah, so mental process is going on, body process also going on, but we are have the capacity to maintain that freedom. So the mind doesn't need to always attach with something. The mind has the capacity to be independent. So that is what we are trying to emphasize here. That is what Buddha is emphasizing again and again in the Satipatthana Sutta. Anissitocha viharati, rachakinchi loke upadhyati. So you are understanding the nature. There's a kind of a potential available in the mind. So it can stay free. It can stay unattached to anything in the world, not grasping anything in the world. So that is what we literally tells as emptiness, calmness, unattached nature, bounded, unbounded nature, boundless nature. So likewise, so these are different terms maybe you can use, but the point is mind is not grasping anything. So now important thing is you have to have a kind of an observation going on. It is not also effortful, but rather kind of effortless observation, effortless kind of mindfulness. Now, at the beginning of our practice, we do effortfully try to be mindful. But later, once you are coming to this kind of area, so the mindfulness becomes kind of part of the practice. It's very much effortless kind of a thing.
Yes.
So you have sort of an awareness, kind of a very normal, simple kind of awareness is there. Mind is also in a very relaxed, relaxed state. And assume due to some reason, again, mind go and attach with something. So that you have to clearly see, that you have to clearly notice. So once you notice it, then you may even recognize, okay, now the mind has attached. I have lost that freedom. So basically, mind has lost that freedom. Again, mind little feel burdened. Mind little feel sort of heavy. So Buddha gives many different ways to reflect it. Either you see it like gross, heavy, burdened, that is the olarika, and or else you feel it like how mind has developed to that level. It was in a very simplified state, but due to some sort of a fabrication, kind of a construction, it slowly, you attach one thought, you attach another thought, you attach another thought. It's like weaving of thoughts. And you can understand how you weave various thoughts and ultimately it became this attached nature. So you can, in a way, you are going back and see how it happened. You see the sankata, the fabrication you did. It is not, I mean, I'm using the terms you, I, but I mean, we understand, okay, these are happening. So we unknowingly, because of our ignorance, avijja, so we do some sort of fabrication. So once we realize it, then we understand, okay, it is useless. So why not I come back to that emptiness? Why not I come again establishing that simplicity? So you again going back. So likewise, Buddha giving up many methods again to return to that emptiness, being in that emptiness. So more and more we familiarize in that emptiness, so various defilements become very clear. In the sense of very easily you can recognize various defilements. because you have fairly associated a free mind, fairly associated a undefiled mind, pure mind, and so immediately when a defiled thought arising, you can see it. Just to give a simile, say you have a very clean cloth. Assume it is white color. So even a little amount of dust particle, even a little amount of ink dot, can be vividly recognized. Similarly, more our mind has the clarity, more our mind has the purity, then even the slightest arising of any hindrance can be recognized. So this nature we have to improve in a way. First of all, we may be understanding this nature, emptiness, while in a sitting practice. Now we need to bring it to enhance. Okay, now I can stay there for 5 minutes. How about enhancing it to 10 minutes? Enhance it to 15 minutes? Enhancing it to 30 minutes? And if now you are recognizing that nature of the mind, that free nature of the mind, and you are promoting it, you are appreciating it. And similarly, and how about having the same kind of unattached mind while in the walking? Now you are even expanding it to that. So likewise,
yes,
we have to further and further improve that quality, enhance that quality.
So one thing I have, like for both, I do the walking and then proceed to the seated. So 1 hour I can wait with minimal thoughts. There, because I'm watching eagerly, I can see it arise, and at the same time, because I'm not promoting, I can see it fading away. During my other day-to-day activities, of course, I go into much detail, because if I get a lustful thought, then I know it's a lustful thought. But here, because it is so short, because I'm not promoting, I don't go into to clarify what sort of a thought I got. So what I should do is still develop more on the time period, or?
No. I mean, because the thing is, you are fairly ready while in the sitting period. So at that time, less amount of defilements may arise now. Hope you understood the point. Now what you need to do is sort of loosen that concentration. And allow the mind to play as it like.
Right.
So then you will understand, okay, it is not that immediately you are losing everything. Rather, you establish yourself in proper mindfulness and you little loosen the concentration.
So allowing the thoughts to come.
Come, exactly. But you are ready, by the way. So you know how to handle them. But you little loosen it and see whether mind is moving. Is it going to any lustful thought? Is it going to any ill will? Is it become restless? So likewise, you sort of allow it to little give some little freedom and see. Then there's a higher potential of many different thoughts may appear, hindrances may appear, then you can recognize it.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay.
And the other thing is it worthwhile to do the walking and sit a little longer, like up to 2 hours, or is it just normally practice is 1 hour?
1 hour is okay. Thing is, I mean, you need to understand it now. It depends on your practice. Now, suppose there are very hectic days. So you go through a lot of difficulties and your mind become extremely restless and you had certain arguments. So likewise, there are hectic days. On that days, you may have to maintain long period, if possible, some good sitting. But on the other hand, assume that you went through a very calm day. There are no much disturbances. And then even a short sitting might be enough. Because now the idea is not to develop the concentration. Now the idea is to maintain the clarity of the mind. So the concentration, you know, now typically concentration in terms of the samatha, we can say, okay, you are absorbed to a particular object. But here it is not. You are trying to maintain a free mind. So so there you have to be careful while in the sitting. Is it going to go and lean onto something? Is it going to go and attach with something? It can unknowingly can happen. Here, if the mind habitually go and attach with something, then that is not the point. It has to maintain sort of a relaxed, very unattached, free kind of a state. Then we have handled it properly.
the other thing is sometimes I like fall asleep, but I'm 100% sure I don't fall asleep, because as soon as I wake up, I'm in the seat that I can go to the posture, because the mind is, the breath is so subtle, I can't go to the breath. My body tends to fall, and automatically it straightens up and then gives a jerk. So that also happens. So that's okay.
That little indicates too much concentration. So you better improve more into the walking side. So maintain more.
I like walking in nature, because I have a problem with my foot. I have a lot of pain because I suffer with Parkinson. I do a lot of walking. It's when I do the seated that it happens.
Okay, I mean, because while walking, just do it very relaxed way. Just with very relaxed, very calm, and you allow the body to simply walk while maintaining mind free. Don't put your attention to the sensations now. rather keep your attention free. Just free.
Yes.
So actually the practice become more and more simpler now.
Yes, it's like walking freely without not attached to anything.
Anything, exactly.
Light and free, and it's like a very blissful state.
Yes, exactly. And you can check. So when there is a sound, you may recognize it, but Mind hasn't lose its clarity. Mind didn't immediately go and distract it. When there is a sight, you may see it, you may notice it, but mind does not completely lost its mindfulness. So likewise, these distractions, various distractions become weaker now. You are able to maintain the stability of the mind.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Okay, Theruvan Sannai. So I think, okay, we have,
and then,
yeah.
Oh, Bhante, sorry, we have one more question. Is it okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Dear Bhante, when we have the objective mind, the observing mind, which reflects on the phenomenon arising and passing away, how can we not identify with this reflecting mind? I find that I identify with the observing mind as the I, which is observing. Thank you.
Yeah, that is actually, you would give a kind of an interpretation. So I, when the perspective of I is a separate, another process, another mental process. Observation is another mental process. And the lustful thought, whatever the hindrances are, another mental process. So when we do the observation, simply do the observation. Don't think that I am observing. Rather, the observation is going on. Observation is there. In front of the observation is the whatever kind of mental aspect, mental phenomena, maybe ill will, maybe lust, sensual lust, whatever it is. And that is one phenomena. Observation is separate and observation is going on. You don't need to call it as I. And later, you can even recognize how you make an I. So that is a separate process. Due to various incidents, by using various incidents, maybe even using various skills, you can make an I. So that you can separately recognize. So therefore, when you do the observation, you don't need to interpret telling that this observer is the I. There is no such observer. There's a kind of observation process. Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. And it looks like we have one more hand raised from Mahisha. Mahisha, please unmute.
Yes, thank you. Bhante, this is like a kind of a practical question that I'm asking. Now, in day-to-day life, when I'm trying to be mindful, sometimes it works well, but suddenly, when someone tells something or when a situation arises, now I recognize, okay, now I think I'm having some contradiction with what I heard, so I'm getting on those hindrances and I'm going to, getting angry thoughts for example, I'm saying. So, and then I recognize it and I mean, let me try to, you know, I know that it will pass away. So I don't have to feed it. And then it passes away for a while, but again it's coming. And then again, I try to think, okay, this is coming again. And when is this going to finish? Because it comes again and then it goes away. It comes again. And sometimes it comes in a different strength. So first one may have come in a less strength, and the second one comes in a more strength, and the third one comes in a very high strength. And my question is, can you just... through your experience, tell me a strategy or a technique where I can, you know, keep suppressing my, you know, the way that I'm evaluating it or trying to look at it so that the strength can get weaker. So when it's getting weak, actually it's weak, I feel like comfortable, oh, it's getting weak now, so that's good that I will stop getting that in a, like, say, half an hour, 1 hour, like that. So that's my first question. So is there any technique that I can use to weaken the strength of it?
This you are talking mainly about the hindrances, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So let me answer that first. So
okay.
Because the thing is, so there are maybe various causes and conditions to arise these hindrances, and if their momentum is so powerful, then it may sort of propels it to very high levels. So it may brings to a very high level. So we may be aware, that is true, but it is so powerful and it may be growing to some extent. So we have to be sort of simply careful, but we have to do the detached observation. We should not carry it away by it, and we are not promoting it, but we do the detached observation. It may come to certain level and then it loses its, it may turn to the other side. It may turn to the cessation side. So likewise, I mean, we can't say, just because of the detached observation, immediately once we start it, it may turn to the other side, but it may has its own momentum to grow to some extent, and then it will turn to the other side. So likewise, now they have their own nature, they have their own lifespan, and depending on the causes it caused, it may develop to some extent, and then since we are not externally promoting it, so they may start to fade away.
Okay, yeah. So now I took three times. So first time, second time, third time.
Mm-hmm.
So first time when it comes here, I see that it arises. Okay,
yeah.
I'm not. I mean, I purposely think, okay, I'm not going to feed it,
mm-hmm.
or I'm not going to, you know, thinking that, oh, this happened, this person said this and this and this.
Right.
So I just recognize it, and then it's weakened, and then it goes away. But second time it comes in a higher strength. And stays for more than the first time,
no,
and then
on,
again goes off.
Yeah,
so
on the other point,
like waves.
Yeah, so basically, you need to see now whenever we are promoting kind of a personality view, whenever we are seeing that he is doing it, he is doing that, she is doing it, she is doing that. So there are fair amount of ignorance is involved, avijja is involved, but. There we can connect our practice. Suppose you did, say, Dhatu Manasikar. You observed various phenomena. You observed various, element characteristics. So ultimately you understood, okay, there is no person here. There is no I. There is no individual. That's everywhere what is available are various phenomena, various, say, element characteristics. So likewise, you already had a kind of a deep insight during your practice. So you can apply that wisdom here.
Okay.
You can apply that wisdom here and you understand you are now somewhat guiding your mind to tell, I mean, you don't, why are you looking at it as a person? There are also merely elements. Here also merely elements. So that actually helps to break through that ignorance. So till we personify, till we consider it as an individual, we have the nature to fabricate. Avijja paccaya sankhara. So the fabrication happens only when we are including some sort of a personification.
Okay. Yeah, like, you know, when we like getting really, you know, point where something hurt, something we heard, and then it hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sometimes start sweating. So we think of, okay, this is out of that, out of, you know, the sweat comes because of the, it's one of the body when the, you know, the, what do you call it, muscles start something, you know, working on it. So that's right. Why the sweat comes. So
right. Then
I can get back to Dhatu Manasikara and figure out how it happens, and then that will disappear. Yeah, that's a good technique. Yeah, I think I got it.
I mean, that is not the only technique. That is not the only technique. I just reflected one thing. So depending on your own practice, depending on your own practice, there may be that kind of very strong insights that you have experienced, understanding the non-self nature. So you can apply that, you can reapply that understanding here so that you are using it to cut through that ignorance.
Thank you very much, Pandey.
Okay. So then we'll wind up the session. So we have discussed 1.5 hours. So with that, we are concluding the today sessions and we'll share the merits. එතාවතා ච අම්හෙහි සම්බතං පුඤ්ඤ සම්පදං සබ්බේ දේවා අනුමෝදන්තු සබ්බ සම්පත්ති සිද්ධියා එතාවතා ච අම්හෙහි සම්බතං පුඤ්ඤ සම්පදං සබ්බේ භූතා අනුමෝදන්තු සබ්බ සම්පත්ති සිද්ධියා එතාවතා ච අම්හෙහි සම්බතං පුඤ්ඤ සම්පදං සබ්බේ සත්තා අනුමෝදන්තු සබ්බ සම්පත්ති සිද්ධියා ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු සාසනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත्वा චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මම් පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා සාදු සාදු සාදු